Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to start tonight in Philippians chapter 4 tonight. And like I said, we're in a series, and we've done this one numerous times. This is the only one I really had like this where the Lord just like, it seemed like about every year, He'll unction me to do it. Because, you know, we need to hear it over and over again. Amen. And so this one on answered prayer. And so this is like number 4. And we're going to we talked about how lifestyle has something to do with your prayer life. Yep. And a lot of people don't tell you that, but the Bible does. Yep. Right? Amen. And so, you know, some people today a little bit loosey-goosey in that area, like, you know, well, we're all covered by grace. Well, thank God for grace, but grace not as permission to do wrong things. God still doesn't just give you permission to do that. We all miss it. I know that. Thank God for grace. Thank God for the blood. Thank God His grace makes up where we kind of fall short. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But, you know, lifestyle has something to do with it. And we talked about how your prayer has to be word-based, not feeling-based. Because there's times I go to prayer, I feel God's presence. There's times I go to prayer, I don't feel anything. And that doesn't matter. I mean, I learned that preaching. I've preached for people, you know, for years, and I've seen people that were sitting in the congregation. I thought, well, they're really thrilled with this, you know, by the look on their face. I'm using that sarcastically. And then after the service, they come and say, that changed my life. And I'm thinking, man, I wish it'd change your face. You know, but, you know, so you couldn't go by what they're, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So you can't go by that. And so I learned. So you can't go by. You got to base your prayers on the Word. Number 3, we talked about faith and the element of faith. And Jesus told us, if you don't believe, James said, you don't believe, you won't receive anything if you're double-minded about it. And Jesus said, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you'll have them. Amen. Now tonight, I want to talk about the importance of thanksgiving in prayer. And how it's important, how it's connected with prayer. So let's go here to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible says, this is the old King James, be careful for nothing. Literally means don't worry about anything. So what do we got permission to worry about? Nothing. How many things? Nothing. But in everything, how many things? Everything by prayer and supplication. Notice this. Now, prayer and supplication, well, you know, prayer is kind of a general thing. You know, prayer, you could be praying. Prayer is communication with God. You can communicate with God a lot of ways. You could ask Him for things. You could worship Him. You could just talk to Him. You understand? But supplication means it like it's an entreaty. It's like requesting from God. So, you know, prayer kind of covers the gamut of things, but supplication pulls something out and says, you know, you're supplicating, you're asking for something from God. And so by prayer and supplication, so, you know, sometimes we can get rid of our cares just by praying and worshiping God. Amen. Maybe we got to ask for something. We need something that's, you know, something's troubling us, and we need to first stop it. Is anybody alive tonight? First thing we got to do is stop worrying, because He said to do it, yeah. Right? You just got to stop it. He said, well, that's not easy. Well, I didn't say it's easy, but if the Bible says don't do it, you can do it. Casting all your care upon Him, because He doesn't care at all. No, He what? He cares for you. No, that dawned on me one day. I don't know why I was slow getting this, but it dawned on me. If it says He cares for me, that means He'll do something about it. So casting all your care upon Him. Well, if the Bible tells us to do that, how many know we can do it? Yeah. You may have to keep casting your thoughts down, but you can do it. But if you don't do this, it doesn't work. You got to not only stop worrying, but you got to, in everything, by prayer and supplication, whatever's troubling you, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, notice that, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And notice this, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How many want some peace? Amen. Well, right there, you know, sometimes people say, well, Pastor, pray for me for peace. Well, if you don't do this, you're not going to have lasting peace. Right? I mean, I prayed for people before. I'm thinking of one lady one time that I prayed for. Bless her heart. You know, she was praying, and she was worried about something. And I got done praying, and she's like, still worried about it. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, we didn't do anything, that's for sure. One lady told me one time, we were talking, and, you know, I told her, I said, you're not supposed to worry about anything. And she said to me, Pastor Chuck, she said, anybody that doesn't worry about something is crazy. Bible verse, please. And I said, no, ma'am, that's how people go crazy, worrying about things. A lot of things you couldn't do. You know, I always say, approach it this way. If I need to change something, then it's up to me to change it. If I can't fix it, thank God, God can fix it. Right? You know, if I go out there and my truck tire's flat, you know, I can fix that. I don't need to worry about it. Honey, you need to pray. God, send an angel and fix this. I know how to do it, right? I'll tell Mark about it. And he can get underneath my truck and get the spare out or something. I don't know. But anyway, help me know. You fix things you can fix, right? See, sometimes we're trying to cast over on God what we're supposed to do. And we try to take what he's supposed to do. Does that make sense to you? So you have to watch that. And notice he said, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, you know, in the book of Revelation, the Bible talked about this. I like this. It's in Revelation 8. We're not going to go there. But in Revelation, it talks about the angel, about an angel. And he said, he offered with the prayers of the saints. The Bible says there was given to him much incense to offer with the prayers of the saints unto God. And incense has always been a type of thanksgiving and a type of worship in the Bible. And so he offered with much incense. Notice it didn't say a little bit. It said much incense. And those prayers went up before God with that incense. And so we have to understand our prayer life is supposed to have thanksgiving. Amen. I mean, we're going to talk about this a little bit about being thankful, you know, and to God. Right? To God. Amen. I don't think there's a day goes by. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm just talking about the attitude I try to have to maybe help you. I don't think there's, matter of fact, I know there's not a day goes by that I don't spend some time thanking God for what I have. And he does something for me. Even if, you know, there's times that, you know, I'm in a hurry. You may not believe this. That's okay. But I know. There's times I've been in a hurry and I'm going to Walmart and say, Lord, just give me a good parking place. And man, bam, there it is. And there's times I have to walk, you know, a half a mile. Well, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but I think God said, you need to burn some calories today, son, you know. But I'll always thank him. We were in a restaurant the other day. I have no idea who did it. We got done eating. Maybe one of you precious people did, or you're live streaming tonight. If you did it, thanks. I appreciate it. Really do. 100-fold back to you many times. But we were sitting in a restaurant the other day, and a lady comes up to us and said, well, your meal's paid for. We didn't see anybody. We didn't know anybody in there that we saw. We didn't see them if we knew. You know, if we would have known, what I'm trying to say is we don't know who did it. We didn't see anybody we knew and all. But I'm always thankful to God. I don't take that for granted. I don't act like it's owed to me. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I appreciate that. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And so, you know, those things happen, but you always got to thank God for it. Amen. Come on, are you with me tonight? Amen. See, Hebrews tells us that we're to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, and that tells us what that is. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Yeah. So just thanking him for, you say, well, Pastor, I don't have anything to thank God for. Well, you're breathing, aren't you?
That's right.
Amen. You know, when you think about it, thanksgiving is an act of faith. When it says to let your requests be made known to God, and it says with thanksgiving, how many of you don't thank somebody unless they've done something for you? If I just walk up to you and say, hey, I want to thank you, you're going to say, what for? Right? See, I've given cards to people I didn't know I gave to them. I've had people say, hey, Pastor, thank you for that card. You're welcome. And I'm thinking, what card? My wife did it. And she signed my name or something. She's a forger. You got to watch her. I tell you, I went by, and listen now, I'm not kidding, I went by for probably, I don't know, 20 years and didn't even see one of my checks. She always signed my name. It's like, yeah, you just sign it. So she, I never saw any of that. And then one day Barney Fife was working at the bank and he pinned her down. It was a female Barney Fife. And so now I have to sign. Anyway, but you know, you understand, you don't thank somebody for something unless they do something for you. So to thank God ahead of time is an act of faith on your behalf. That you're saying, I believe you've done something. Even though you don't see it, you're thanking him ahead of time. Right? You do that, don't you? I mean, if you trust people, you thank them ahead of time. Hey, would you go do this? Thanks for doing it. Because you trust them. Right? I say this. This is a saying that I like. I've said this for years. Thanksgiving is the track that the train of faith runs on. You know, a train has to have a track. You could have faith, but it's not going to go anywhere unless you have thanksgiving with it. It's not going to run long. So it's the track that the train of faith is running on, is just being thankful and having a thankful heart, thanking God, thanking Him for His blessings on your life. Look at Luke 11. No, Luke 17. Go there. Luke 17. Are we good tonight? Yeah. All right. See, I just want you to get a hold of this. This has to be an element of your prayer life, or your prayers aren't going to be as powerful as they need to be. You have to add this. This is not in just in one scripture. I read the one scripture, but there's a lot of scriptures that we could read. We're not going to tonight, but we could. But well, I picked out a few I wanted to talk about tonight. And one of them's here in Luke 17, the story of the 10 lepers. I like this story. And in Luke 17, verse 11, go there. It says, it came to pass, at Luke 17, 11, it came to pass as he, Jesus, that is, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. So, you know, I mean, we don't know much about that, but, you know, it's still in some places of the earth, people, they're still lepers. You know, it's pretty much been wiped out, but they're still there. But, you know, it ate off part of your body. It eats your body up, you know. It's a filthy thing. Filthy disease from the devil. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priest. That's what you did. That's what they did in Israel when for the cleansing of the leper. They'd go show themselves to the priest, and the priest would check them out and pronounce them cleansed, and they could go back into society. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God except this stranger. So in other words, Jesus expected these people to come back and thank God. He expected it. God expects us to be thankful. Amen. He expects us to be, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit tonight, and I just think it's something we need to talk about. But you know, one of the things that Paul said in the last days, one of the problems in society is that men would be unthankful. Unthankful. Boy, we see that today, don't we? And one of the things, Romans chapter 1, he talked about this. He said one of the downfalls of a society is they're not thankful to God. They don't thank God any longer. They don't give Him thanks. I mean, I see this, and it's put in, and I'm not just laying it off on young people. There's older people who have this issue too. But I'm just simply seeing this. You send your kids off to college, unless it's a good one, then they brainwash them into how bad they have it in America. Yeah. And they've never been out of the country. They have no idea. They're just going by what they were told by people they trusted in authority that either liars or don't know what they're talking about. Never been out of the country. Some of our politicians have been out of the country, but they've been to hot spots and vacation spots. They've never been to the real country. Amen. They've never seen real poverty. And you get people in America, this is a big thing right now where people talk about how oppressed they are. I'm seeing athletes making, you know, $30 million a year, $50 million a year, and talking about how oppressive it is in America. I'm thinking, why don't you try to make that in North Korea? Why don't you just move? Doors open, you can leave. I remember some of them said, I may be a little tough tonight. That's okay. You're big enough to handle it. But I mean, a number of movie stars and stuff said, if so-and-so, this was years ago, I don't even remember which president it was for sure, but they said, if he gets elected, we're leaving the country. Well, they lied. They didn't leave because they know they're not going anywhere else and get paid that kind of money.
Right.
Their movies are dumb anyway. They're not even, you got to go back a number of years to get good stuff. It's funny. Anyway, praise the Lord. How do you know that? Well, you know what? I don't watch new stuff, but I was sitting in a tire store, and they had one on the modern day sitcoms on, you know? And I thought, that's about the stupidest thing I ever heard. Nothing's funny, but yet they used canned laughter for everything they said.
Yeah.
It's like, you have to can the laughter in because nobody's going to laugh at it. It's stupid. Just being stupid is not funny. I thought, you need to watch the Andy Griffith Show or something. Find something. But, you know, anyway, my point in saying that is that if America continues on the path it is of being unthankful and thinking everything's owed to them, we're in trouble. Because Paul said it's one of the signs of a downfall of a society. We need to thank God. Are you listening to me? You go out of the country for a while, you go to some places, and, you know, I mean, there's places that it's I was with a missionary one time, and we were going to his church, you know, and I saw some guys working, and they were like laying bricks, you know, doing brickwork. And I said, okay, how much they make a day? He said, a dollar or two. And that's what they're living on, see. And then we got people in America, you know, if they can't buy a new car every year, it's like I'm oppressed. That's good preaching. It's like we got to get a clue, man. That's just unthankful. You know what I'm saying? If look, you say, well, man, I got a messed up left leg. What do I got to be thankful for? That your right leg still works.
Yeah.
I've seen people go through hell on earth and come out thankful because it's inside their heart. See, there's thankfulness inside of them. I try to be thankful every day. Like I said, every day I'm thanking God for things that I have, the blessings. Not just natural things, but spiritual things. First of all, I'm thankful that He saved me. I'm thankful I didn't die and go to hell. Had opportunities, but thank God He kept me alive. Amen. And so, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we have to have this about us because this is a problem. And Jesus, now notice here, He said, hey, there were 10 cleansed. Where's the rest of them? So He expected them to come back, didn't He? And notice what He said, verse 19. He said to this man, arise, go your way. Your face made you whole. Now, the word whole means he was saved. In other words, what I think I see here is that his faith took him to another level. The rest weren't there. You see what I'm saying? He went to another place that the others didn't go, because Jesus specifically says something here and he points this out, that, hey, your faith made you whole. Now, a friend of mine told me this, and I know I believe it's true, years ago, way back in the early 80s, he said, did you ever think about this? Or he actually told me, he said he heard some guy preaching on this. He said that, how leprosy eats parts of your body off? He said this man got his parts back. See, it's pretty exciting to get cleansed from it. But to get your parts back, that's quite another level altogether. Thank God. Hallelujah. You know, if you're missing your nose, your fingers, your ears, or whatever, you get them back. That's another level. Amen. But I also saw in here when studying this one time, not only did this guy get healing, but he got in that in that sense, like we would call born again, wasn't available yet till Jesus was raised from the dead. But he got saved, man. He's on his way to heaven. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving took him to another level. And so we have to realize that our prayer life, if we don't add Thanksgiving, if we just like, give me, give me, give me, my name's Jimmy, take all you give me, you know, I mean, that gets old after a while. Right? All right? So you got to understand, God expects us to be thankful. Amen. To be thankful. You know, let's look here. I want to look at just a few things. I'm not going to go much longer tonight, but I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Go there, 1 Thessalonians 5. And I want to read to you, I think, 1 Thessalonians, I'm in Timothy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want to read to you this scripture. I saw something out of this years ago. Some of this stuff I've already preached, but you know what? I've preached thousands of times to you. They're not all going to be new messages. Is that fair enough? Well, if I was pastor, I'd preach a message, a new one every time. Well, that's why you're not pastor.
That's right.
Because we get these weird revelations and these weird doctrines. It's like, okay, can't have that. Now, how many know, have you ever read the four Gospels? Sometimes they say the same thing. It's like, I already read that. I've read about this guy. This is the fourth time. How many know we needed it, right?
That's right.
Amen. And so sometimes we say things, and I'll say them over and over again. That's all right. That's just, we need to hear it again. Amen. We had a guy get saved one time, and he'd been saved long, he's a young guy. And so somebody gave him, one of the guys at church gave him a sack full of cassettes of R.W. Schombach. Anybody remember Brother Schombach? You won't have any troubles. All you need is faith in God. That's what that was his famous saying, you know. And he told me, he said, you know what? I listened to those. He said, it's all the same message. And you know, Brother Osteen, John, you know, who's in heaven, he used to say, he didn't tell his congregation this, but he said, I preach the same message every week. I just move the scriptures around and change it a little bit. Why? Because people need it. Now, I don't know that he actually did it quite that. That might have been a little evangelistically speaking, but I understood his point that, you know, I don't always feel like I got to come up with something new. Amen. So we have to understand here, and let's go back to this. Go to 1 Thessalonians, because this is a revelation that I received from the Lord several years ago about this verse, and I hadn't seen it in this light, and I want to show it to you. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, it tells us, in everything give thanks. Now, not for everything. Amen. We had that teaching years ago. And the guy meant well, bless his heart, but he put out a book about thank God for everything. I had a car wreck. Thank you, Lord, for my car wreck. Thank you for my cancer. No, that's not what the Bible means. But in the midst of everything, you still thank God. Even in the midst of the mess and so forth, you thank God. But you don't thank God for everything. He didn't send everything. Does that make sense? So don't fall for that. That's not on target with the word. But in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Now notice this, in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now any time in the writings of Paul, when you see that term in Christ, have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
It's in Paul's writings a lot. It'll say in Christ, or it might say in Him, or in whom, or in the beloved. But it's all saying the same thing, in Christ. It's always talking about our redemption, what we have in Christ, our redemption. So when you know that, when you see that, anytime in your New Testament and you're reading that in Christ, you can say, that's what I have. That's part of what I have. And so in Christ. Now, notice this. He says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, the Lord showed it to me this way. He said, when you give thanks, it puts you in the redemptive will of God for your life. Now think about this. In the French language, Italian language, and the Spanish language, there may be others, they all use the word grace for thanks. What's the Spanish word for thanks? Gracias. What's the French word? Okay. Merci. Merci, beaucoup. What's the Italian word? Lasagna. I don't know what the Italian. I don't know what the Italian word is. I don't know. Maybe somebody else. But it has. But all of it, I don't remember. I probably did know. But all of it uses some form of the word grace. Now there's a reason for that, because the word grace and the word thanks are connected. Biblically, they're connected. In the Greek language, they're connected. They're connected together. There's like a place in Hebrews 10, I think it's 12, 28, says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. But some translations say, let us give thanks whereby we may serve God acceptably. And that's okay to do that, because those, they're the same. They're connected together. It literally means that. So here's my thought about that is, like, if you're not thankful, you're out of the grace of God. You've stepped out of the grace of God. See, but if you are thankful, you're in the grace of God. You're in the redemptive will of God in Christ. Am I boring you tonight? All right, you're in the redemptive will. I don't say this is all I got. Right? Close and go home, but that's all I got tonight. You're in the redemptive will of God. You're in Christ Jesus. You're in the will of God. Notice this, the will of God in Christ Jesus. It puts you in the redemptive. Does that make sense to you? It puts you in the redemptive will of God for your life. In other words, you're going to walk in more blessings if you're thankful. You're going to walk in more blessings if you're thankful. Amen. And so we have to understand, we can't leave Thanksgiving out of our prayer life. It's a statement of faith. Think about this. How do we enter His gates? With thanksgiving. What got the children of Israel in trouble? They were unthankful. Remember, they came out, they complained, murmured and complained. What happened to them? Well, the will of God was for them to go into the promised land. But their unthankfulness put them out of the will of God. The Bible says they complained and they were destroyed of the destroyer. See what I'm saying? See, when they lost their thanksgiving, I've seen people when you quit being thankful for one another in a marriage, your marriage is in trouble. When you start taking one another for granted. Right? I've seen it happen as pastor in a church. People, they come and this is the greatest church on earth, you're the greatest pastor on earth, and after a while they get unthankful, and they soon learn that not everybody's perfect. Most everybody is, but there's, we're still working on a few of us, right? And I don't know if, all right, they say every third person's a problem. One, two, just count three away from you and see, you can find out who the problem is. But anyway, but you understand that what happens is they cease being thankful. And the thing that happens is they go to the next church and they do the same thing after a while. Because if Thanksgiving isn't in you, it won't come out of you. Right? See, I'm just thankful God lets me be in His kingdom. See, I don't have any problem, whatever God wants to do. I've been preaching for 40-some years. I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach the Word. But if God spoke to me tomorrow and said, you're done, I'm retiring you, I'm not going to suck my thumb and be mad and pout. I'm going to say, well, thank you for letting me work for it. He's not going to do that, by the way. But I'm just going to, I would say, thank you for the opportunity of working for you. Amen. This is good preaching. Amen. See, one thing that grates against God is that murmuring and that complaining. He told them, he says, as you've spoken in my ears, that's what's going to happen to you. Even in Deuteronomy, I've preached out this scripture a lot. I have over the years where God said, if you don't serve me with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, he said, you'll end up serving your enemies.
Right.
See, the devil's unthankful.
That's right.
I mean, no, he should have just been thankful. He got to be close to God, but he was unthankful and wanted to take over and got kicked out. He's unthankful. That's where ungratefulness, that's where this spirit comes from that's trying to get a hold of America. God forbid that it does, but it's trying to, where everybody thinks everything's owed me. You owe me, you know, you owe me free health care. You owe me a free education. You know, now there's places that's, you know, they're going to give everybody income, free income. Did you know that's, you know what, that party ends sometime. It's going to stop sometime because we're going to run out of other people's money. Amen. So that's why certain people are, I hope this isn't too heavy, but that's why certain people are leaving certain states. It's because they're tired of being milked. You know, we want to bless people, but you got to do something yourself. Right? You know what I'm saying? And you got to be thankful. Amen. I've never seen such unthankfulness. And it's not just young people. Older people are that way too. Some of them are the worst. Some of them are, they're pushing this thing. And it's a recipe for disaster when we stop being thankful. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you what, most people in America that are considered poor are rich compared to other countries. I'm just like to one time take some of these people through some of the slums areas in some of the other countries. Are you listening now? I mean, those people, they don't, you can see where they live, see what they do to exist, see the clothing they have. It's just heartbreaking. And when you come back home and if you got any sense about you, you're thankful. You say, our country is not perfect. No, it's not. But it's a whole lot better than a lot of places, I can tell you that right now.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
We're putting up a wall to keep people from getting in, not to keep people from leaving. Huge difference.
Amen.
See, my friend Pastor Ingolf, who I was talking about a while ago, he said they put up the wall in East Germany because all the good people, people were trying to leave. They weren't trying to keep people from getting in. They were trying to keep people from getting out. We have to put up a wall to keep them from getting in. And yet, we've got all these people that think they're owed everything. Oh, this is wonderful preaching tonight. But it's just something we need to talk about. How many know that? It needs to be addressed by our political leaders and just say, look, you guys don't know how good you got it. And no, everything can't be free. Amen. You know, free this, free that. You know, free phones. Remember the Obama phones? The free cell phones. Everybody got a free phone. You know, maybe you got one. Well, praise the Lord. But I'm just saying, you know. I mean, you know, you know what I'm saying. I mean, I remember when they had some of you go back long enough, you remember what were those called? Those checks the government sent us?
Stimulus
checks. I mean, you know, hey, I took mine and cashed it. I didn't send it back. I'll take all the stimuli because it's my money anyway.
Right.
Isn't it amazing the way they want to act like Social Security is a privilege and you paid for it?
Yeah.
And if you think you're getting your investment back, you're flat wrong. You just stuck that money in. Mutual funds, you'd have made a lot more money than what they're going to give you. I promise you that. But yet they want to act like, you know, it's a great privilege and all. And then they give it to people that don't even pay into it.
Right.
Moving along. Pastor's preaching good tonight. I mean, you know, some people need help. I understand that, but not at all. Not everybody's getting it. All right. David said this, Psalm 77:3, he said, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Now the word overwhelmed means it became faint or feeble. His spirit was crippled because he was complaining. want to say it now. What you stop being thankful for is going to exit your life. Right? I try to be thankful. I don't know if I'm perfect at it, but I try to be thankful for my wife. I try to be thankful to the things she does. She fixes me breakfast every Sunday morning. Don't you, hon? Well, I mean, you give me a little cup of orange juice and a little bitty thing of the eat, you know what, that I take out of the wrapper. And listen, man, listen, let me tell you something. When we got married, way back in the day, you know, I was working a job, getting up, going to work, you know. I was kind of in between ministry assignments. And so you were too. She was working too. But I was in between ministry assignments, and I was a full-time ministry, and then I changed and did another assignment, and things wasn't taking in enough money yet to do it full-time, and so I got a job and did the ministry. I'm glad I did it when I was young, because I was busy. And so she asked me, she said, "Do you want me to get up?" Because I had to be there like at work about like 6:50 or something like that. Not as early as some people, but 6:50. And so, you know, I'd get up 5-something. And she said, "Do you want me to get up and fix your breakfast?" I said, "No." She's held on to that for 40-some years. She's like, she asked one time. She didn't dare ask again. That was it. It's like, no. Anyway, I'll tell her, because I'll go to bed on Saturday night and I'll see my little cup sitting on the counter, little paper towel thing, and then my little goody thing to eat. And I'll say, "You've got my breakfast fixed for me, don't you already, hon?" Praise the Lord. But you know what? You're unthankful, you know, because a lot of times that happens in marriage. People quit being thankful for one another. And next thing you know, they're apart, and you know, and then he wishes Lucille would come back. But Lucille left you because you were ungrateful. Ape. Amen. All right, I could go off on that, but let's don't. Praise the Lord. I got another scripture I want to look at. But listen, listen, listen. I've said this a lot. A thankful heart, listen now, a thankful heart is one that's not always focused on what it doesn't have. How many of the devil try to get you to focus on what you don't have? Right? But a thankful heart, it's focused on what it does have. See, the devil will always point out, if you'll let him, how you could have it better. You know what? Right? I mean, he'll do that. Well, look, man, your neighbor, he got a new truck. Look at yours. Yours is 5 years old. Well, how about being thankful that you got something? Right? That's good preaching now. See, because I know how the devil works. He'll always point out what you don't have. Well, you don't have that. I mean, you know. Come on. Well, you know, I just got this old snapper mower. Man, my neighbor got a nice John Deere mower. And so now you're not happy. Well, just thank God. You know, it's like this guy. His mower broke down. His push mower. He had a push mower and it broke down. And his wife was after him to get it fixed, you know, fix it because the yard's getting taller. And so he comes home one day, and she's been after him, like, "You got to fix this." It's like been a month, and he's finally, the grass is about a foot tall. He said he came home one day, and he says his wife was sitting out there. He said, "I'm walking down the sidewalk to the front door, and my wife's sitting there in the yard with a pair of scissors snipping the grass, cutting the grass." So he said, "I walked in, I brought out a toothbrush, and I handed it to her, and I said, 'Honey, when you're done cutting the grass, sweep the sidewalks, will you?'" The good news is the doctor thinks he'll live after rehab. But anyway, how many remember the old days? the push things, no motor. Yeah, remember those? Hey, just be thankful you don't have one of those. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. But it used to be a mower. It didn't have any mower. You just... Amen. So there's plenty to be. Don't concentrate on what you don't have. Go to Colossians. We'll close right here, chapter 4. But don't concentrate on what you don't have. Concentrate on what you do have, the blessings you do have. I was complaining. Matter of fact, I think it had gone on a day or two or more than that, maybe, about some things. Not about people, but just about things. And, what I'm saying? It's one of those deals where you're focusing on what's not right instead of what is right. And that's where I was at in my thinking. And I go into my bathroom, and when I'm in there and I'm not happy, I'm complaining about things, about this and about that. And I'm telling you, the Lord spoke to me. I didn't hear him audibly, but I heard it inside my heart just as plain as if he'd said it audibly. He said, you know what you sound like? He said, you sound like the children of Israel in the wilderness. Boy, that jerked me awake. It's like, that's not good. Those folks got in big trouble. I straightened my attitude. And ever since then, I've not been perfect, but I've been a lot better. I don't focus on what's not going right because there's always things that aren't going right. How many know that? I focus on what is working right. It's like I said, if your right leg isn't working, then thank God your left is. And believe God to get the right one going again. Amen. Look at this. We'll close right here. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. The Bible says to continue in prayer and watch in the same, this is the King James, watch in the same with thanksgiving. Some translations say be vigilant in it with thanksgiving, your prayer. But the word watch means to stay alert or to keep awake. So thanksgiving has a way of keeping your prayers awake. Has anybody ever prayed for something and then, time went by and you forgot about it? Thanksgiving keeps it awake, keeps it alert, keeps it alive. Amen. It's one way you keep your request before God. Now, I like to think of it this way. When we have a request, we hold it up before God with thanksgiving, thanking Him for it. What did Abraham do? Abraham said he gave glory to God. One of the things he did was he gave thanks to God. And it was one of the things that caused the manifestation to come to pass in his life. So it's real important that we don't just treat God, like he's this heavenly vending machine. I did my thing now. Remember those? They maybe still have them. I know when I was going to school, we had the vending machines. You'd put your money in and pull the knob thing. Right? And we, how many of God's not that way? No. We need to be thankful.
Yes.
Amen. He's not just am I so old nobody remembers those old vending machines, with the knob things? See, remember those? Because, see, we learned a trick as a kid how to get them to dump two out at once. You learn all these tricks as a kid. Maybe I shouldn't. Well, there's not any of them left anyway by now, so I'm not going to teach you bad things. But you pull that lever out just a little bit, just a little about halfway, and shove it back in real fast, pull it out twice. And a lot of times it dumped two out when you do that. That's for Christ. Amen. And we would do that, get stuff out of there and get two candy bars for a quarter or whatever they were, 10 cents or whatever they were, 10 cents. Y'all need to get around some. Remember the old Coke machines? They had a lid on them, they were set, and you lift the lid up and all the bottles were in there on this track, and you put a dime in and you slid the thing around and lifted it out. All right, so there are other older people here that remember that I'm not making this stuff up, but God's not a vending machine. How many know that? Our attitude means a lot. And when we have an attitude of gratitude, a friend of mine, this is not good English, but I liked what he said. when he was preaching one night, a friend of mine, he said, an attitude of gratitude enhances the latitude of plentitude. Terrible English, but I got what he meant. When you have an attitude of gratitude, your latitude will be plentitude. You'll have plenty. Praise the Lord. Plentitude's not a word, I'm sure of that. But anyway, it sounds good. Praise God. Stand up. Did you get something tonight? Thank God we are redeemed. We're in Christ. But one of the ways we walk in that in Christ, we put ourselves in that perfect plan and will of God, is by our thanksgiving. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.